It's time for the Punters Panel, where we speak with local older people about the issue of the day. And in the studio today, I have Lucille McKenna, a councillor with the Inner West Council, Lucille McKenna OAM, and Agnes Ware, a Torres Strait Islander community member, who is also a Radio Skid Row presenter of the Koori Connections program each Tuesday on 10 to 12. Well, that was a great chat from Barbara O'Neill. And it seems to me that the key message is that the experience of ageing for Aboriginal people is the stain of the trauma of childhood, of the removal of children. What can you tell us about that, Agnes?
Well, as a Torres Strait Islander, we Torres Strait Islanders, our families that grew up with trauma during the times in the islands, because we have to travel by boat to and from each island, and one of the where the hospital is, situated on one island, and you have to travel sometimes 1 hour by dinghy to from a remote island to the mainland, which is Thursday Island, and that's the only place that it has a hospital. Today, which is, I'm really excited to say that they've actually built an elder's home on Thursday Island, so the elders can regularly visit the hospital. Yep. Usually, if some of the elders that sometimes don't want to go anywhere near the hospital because the doctors are strange to them, they're strangers and they're white people, and so they don't trust white people.
And what we have with you, Lucille, is somebody with a lot of experience working in health, but of a non-Aboriginal background. You and I both work in health as nurses, and we're used to being trusted. It is a bit of it's a bit confronting to realise it's not like that.
It is very confronting because nurses, as we know, are the most trusted profession and have been ever since those statistics have been taken on an annual basis. They come out as the most trusted. And here we have a whole group of our community who are not trusting of those services that are there available to them. It is quite distressing. What I was wondering is if... I know there's been considerable effort made to try and increase the number of Aboriginal health professionals. Is that working and is that helping to address this issue?
Yes, it's finally helping, and the New South Wales government is involved as well, educating our people to, in recruitment. So we're all the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people now are getting into the New South Wales government agencies, and there's a lot of people that have joined the health department. And when an elder sees somebody that, you know, from your country, they live a little bit longer, and they like to express themselves to you as well.
Yeah,
say, wow, you know, it's really exciting to see somebody from your country or your village or wherever you're from, that's a nurse or a doctor. And we've had so many successes.
That's
we don't
wonderful.
Have that much doctors or nurses, but I just want to encourage all the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people out there, you know, if you into the into health, or if you can stand the sight of blood, well, join up.
That's an interesting...
And help your grandmother.
that is an interesting comment, because as a nurse... and I'm sure Jeff would agree that people say, oh, I hate the sight of blood. You actually don't see a lot of blood. You know, it's not something that you actually see on a daily basis. So it's more about having some empathy with people, having compassion, caring about humanity. They're the key things. And, of course, that's something that that in our Aboriginal community is there, because they do care about each other, and they're so being part of community is such a strong belief for them. So, you know, being able to transfer those skills, especially to nursing, is wonderful. And but I I appreciate the difficulty of finding those sort of specific healthcare workers, but it seems like it's one of those things that's really important. The other thing that is a concern, of course, is the fact that many of these people's life experience and is such that their life expectancy is so much shorter. And I mean, we really need to be doing as much as we can to try and help them and assist them. I did talk earlier, before the show, we were chatting about the importance of socialising, as well as the health issues. It's the most important thing now that a lot of the research is telling us. So it was sad to hear that they don't like to leave their homes in the people that, the person that was talking today. So, you know, that seems to me something that they would enjoy, because again that community and that communal living experience which is traditional for them. So how can we go there?
And one of the things that really struck me, because I've now heard it a few times, is that the experience of older people within the community of respect and regard is quite different to what we see. We had Susan Ryan talking about becoming invisible as you age, and yet both Linda Burney and now Barbara O'Neill talking about how, as an older person, you get respected, your dignity is respected. This is something to aspire to.
It's cultural and it's traditional, and we Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have to respect our elders, because that's our parents as well. Our grandparents. So if you respect your mother and father, you have to do that to your whole family. I'm from a family of 10, and my parents has got from a family of 10. My father has 7-8 boys in his family, and they're all my uncles and aunties, and they're grandparents. So can you imagine how many grandparents I got?
Pretty extended by the sound of it.
Yeah, so it's the same situation here in Sydney as well. And I grew up down the block, so, you know, it's look, I tell you what, even the junkies, they have respect for the elders down the block. I've seen them do that. And that they will ask you politely, they will leave you politely, they will never disrespect you whatsoever. You know, and then they'll say hello, and then all of a sudden run up the road and go, yeah, you know, start shouting and carrying on. But they would never do that in front of the elders.
No.
Yeah.
No. It certainly is something to be applauded, that respect. But I personally have found with younger people, if you treat them with respect, they'll usually respond appropriately. I mean, very rarely have I had any problems myself with younger people, but I think if you have that within you to be really respectful and have empathy for people's situation, that really is terribly important.
So I suppose it's best that you don't walk into a social situation expecting that you'll get respect.
That's right, yes.
And there are a lot of places now that I remember back in the day when I used to DJ for the elders. I did that voluntarily. I went to the actual home, but I had to collect a lot of old music. That was fun. They'd get up and start dancing with each other.
Right.
And that's what's missing is socialising.
The socialising, yes, and that was probably the saddest part of that, because you know when you get older and when you have a little more time, you've raised your families, you may be not retired. That's the time when you should be able to do some of those things where you can socialise a little bit more and enjoy yourself.
Go out. You know, there's a lot of places available for the elders that you can visit and go out. But, you know, we may need other organisations or start a new one to do something specific like that.
Yeah, but sometimes people need a lot of encouragement as well, because I'm a very confident person, but I've found since I've retired, I've had to engage in new things and new activities, and you have to be fairly confident and resilient to join in a group or, you know, even a couple of you. So I understand that for them it can be very difficult. So I think we probably as a community could be doing more to really fill some of those voids, especially on the social experience, whether it be, you know, playing sports and things for older people or games. And there's lots of things that could be happening, but, you know.
And it's good for the mind for them as well, you know. Like, you know, I think in America they give them puppies and live animals to play with or cuddle, or they try something very new all the time.
Well, look, thank you very much, my guests, Lucille McKenna and Agnes Ware, for joining us today on the Punters Panel. I think it's been a fascinating topic, and it's been a real insight to listen to Barbara O'Neill and to hear you two speaking together. Thank you once again very much.